there, my name is April Wallace. I'm the Profiles Editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I had the distinct pleasure of interviewing Danielle Musselman this summer at Bud Walton Arena. Danielle is the wife of Arkansas Razorbacks men's basketball coach Eric Musselman. She's also a very active member of the Northwest Arkansas community, where she donates her time and energy to a number of nonprofit organizations in our region. This month, she is chairing the second Suits and Sneakers Gala for the American Cancer Society on October 14th at the Fayetteville Town Center. Last year's gala brought in $300,000 and is expected to top $500,000 this year. This time around, the theme is 1994, after that year's storied March Madness. Not only has she helped create the event from the ground up, Danielle has a very personal story that drives her to keep contributing toward cancer research and resources. I'll let her tell you more. You can find my story on Danielle this Sunday in the Profiles section of the Democrat Gazette statewide. So first, I'd like to begin with why we're here, your benefit with the American Cancer Society. So I'd love to learn about what drives you to stay active with them, personal motivations that made you want to volunteer.
Well, like so many people, cancer has personally affected my family. My mom is a breast cancer survivor. She lost both of her parents to cancer whenever they were young. And it's just always something that's been part of my life. And so as I've gotten older, it's just nonstop. I mean, I was just mentioning how I've had two friends this month alone that have been diagnosed with cancer. And so I always know why I'm doing this, but you know, whenever those things come up and it just affects you personally, it just kind of pushes you a little bit harder. And so I'm never going to stop fighting.
Absolutely. So it's personal to you.
Yeah, it's very personal. I mean, even an amazing thing happened recently where from our last Suits and Sneakers Gala, we were able to donate $50,000 to Hope Cancer Resources, and that's a company that gives cancer patients rides. Now, here we are a little less than a year later, and my dear friend was diagnosed with cancer, and that was one of the resources that has been given to her. And so it's just really cool to see it come full circle, and whenever you can tangibly see the ways that what you're doing is helping, it's just really special.
I bet. And they offer all kinds of things.
They
right?
do also, they, yeah.
They give guest cards.
They do so many wonderful things for people, and it's completely free to the people that need their help. And so being able to aid with that, it's awesome.
That's, you know, some of the things that they don't need to be worrying at the moment. They
exactly.
need to focus on getting better.
Yeah, totally.
So would you mind telling me about the first experience of putting on Suits and Sneakers?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was scared. You know, starting an event of that size from the ground up it's a really daunting task. Luckily, I have an amazing partner with Catherine Tapp, and she's so good at what she does. And we were able to put together a really successful event. I knew what I wanted it to be like, and the main word that just kept popping into my head was fun. I'm like, I want this to be fun. You know, I want to raise a lot of money, but I want it to be fun. I want it to be like a pep rally, but a gala. And I think we succeeded with that. And it really came at a good time. It was, you know, it was during COVID, of course, but it was whenever things were kind of starting to lighten up, and it was one of the first events, and I think people were just really wanting to see each other, wanting to get together, and wanting to have fun. And so it was an extremely successful event, both I feel like for the attendees, and then of course financially for the American Cancer Society.
I bet that was a really special dynamic after having gone a while without really seeing each other much in
yeah.
person.
Oh, it was so funny because we had a DJ. You know, we had the whole event, a VIP part. There was the gala part, the stage presentation, and then we had a DJ. And in my mind, I'm thinking, no one's going to stay after and, like, party and dance. Everybody stayed after and danced. And, I mean, we all know DJ Derek is the best. So it was so fun. I mean, my 7-year-old mom was out there. Like, everyone was out there dancing and just having fun. So it was cool.
That's really neat. And so what do you have planned this year?
For
this
year's? Well, it's hard. The thing about having a successful event is you really have to top yourself every single year. So I think we're doing that. This year's theme, you know, a nod to the national championship. So it's kind of got a throwback theme to it. So even like the music is going to be a little bit different, and just the whole theme around the gala is it's that throwback feel to it. We've reached out to several players that were on that team, and we're going to have them in attendance. So I think it's going to be different than last year's, but still, you know, the same kind of feel to it.
So you've lived so many places. So many.
Yes.
I have to ask, what do you love about Northwest Arkansas so far?
Oh, gosh. So far, I'll just say one of the first things that has been so special is just my neighborhood and my neighbors that I met. My daughter, this is the first move that she wasn't excited about because she had to leave her. She was at the age where she had friends, and so she was a little nervous about it. And the first week in our neighborhood, my one neighbor across the street took her to like a water park, and then she met two other little girls. And after that, she was fine. And so we've always had a community, like immediately with that, and then with the coaches and their wives from all of the other sports, they've just always been so welcoming to us. So we didn't have that weird transition where you'd get dropped into a new city and you don't know anyone. It was like we moved to Fayetteville and everyone was just so willing to help and meet us, and it just made it easy.
Right. That's great.
Yeah.
I feel like it can feel like a small town sometimes.
Yeah. No, I mean, for me, because I've lived in a lot of big cities, it definitely does have the small town feel to it. But it's something that we like and appreciate, especially at this stage in life where I'm, you know, running carpool, driving around to a million activities. My husband is four miles from work, you know, so he can be home in 10 minutes. If you live in a larger city, that's not going to be the situation. So we just feel like it gives us more family time, and it's just easier, you know, it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You need that with a big family.
Yeah.
Is there anything about you that you think might surprise people? Any quirks?
Honestly, I think that I am a little bit of a homebody, because you probably see me out a lot. People probably see me out because I try to do a lot in the community and attend a lot of events and things like that. But there's nothing I like better than being in my pajamas at 9 o'clock and watching TV with my husband. It's like my date night that I have every night. We don't have to go anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Understandable if you don't want to go this route, but when you do go out,
yeah,
in Northwest Arkansas, do you have favorite restaurants or favorite date nights or family activities?
Yeah, you know, but we're movie people. So before COVID, we were at the movies probably like once a week. It's just something we've always loved to do. And then we didn't go for so long. Top Gun was our first movie back, and we were like, we have missed this. We don't eat out a ton just because I like to cook, but big fan of Wright's Barbecue and Fish City Grill. They're doing a lot right near us over in Johnson, a lot of new things. There's a great pizza place, Pizzeria Rubia, if you haven't gone there.
Yes.
So yeah, we definitely like to hit those spots. I'm a huge fan of theater. So my daughter and I are at Theater Squared sometime. And then let me think. And you know, we have such a large chunk of our lives that's kind of eaten up with basketball. So during the season, we're not doing any of those things because date night is here, Bud Walton.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, did I hear that you had kind of helped get some healthy options into Bud Walton for concessions?
No, I have not. They
not
haven't
yet.
Consulted me about
okay.
that. Give them some ideas.
Right. Well, if that's okay, we'll transition to the rest of the interview. Just for a little overcap, Profiles takes a look at your whole life to this point. And so, is it okay if we start from childhood?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, totally.
So you bounced around growing up, but where did you start out?
I started out in St. Louis, which is not far from here. So that's kind of cool that now I'm, you know, back kind of close. And I got the chance to go to St. Louis with a dance tournament, actually, with my daughter. And it was the first time I'd been there, gosh, I think since I was 10.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Do you have You have a sister? Do you have other siblings?
Yeah, I do. I have a sister and a brother. They both live in Atlanta. I'm the oldest. Okay. And my mom lives in Atlanta as well. Okay. My father passed away whenever I was 18. So we have, you know, just a small group of us. But everyone, I'm the only one that's not in Atlanta.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Where are you in the order?
I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest. You're the responsible one, right?
Clearly, yeah.
So what did you like to do growing up?
Play sports. Yeah. It's like in my blood, playing sports, going to sporting events. My dad was a huge baseball and basketball fan. So I really grew up, you know, going to Major League Baseball games, going to NBA games. He wasn't a huge fan of football, so I never went to a college football game or NFL game until I was older. I know, which is funny.
Wow.
But I ended up going to Florida State, and college football is king there, so I learned pretty quickly.
Okay.
But, yeah, my dad definitely instilled a love of sports into me.
Okay. What was your first sport and...
That I played?
Yeah.
I think it was basketball, honestly. Okay. Yeah, I played basketball, I played softball, I ran track, but basketball was the thing that I really, really loved.
When did you start?
Gosh, I would say probably fourth grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did it just kind of go hand in hand to do all three of those?
Yeah, I really love sports. And back then, you could do a lot more sports. Like nowadays, they...
Specialize.
It's, yeah, kids specialize and they take up so much more time. But back then, I think that the basketball, softball, and track were all in three different seasons. So
right.
I just wanted
something
to be,
to do.
Yeah, I was doing something year round.
Did you have any coaches or teachers that were really special to you that felt like they guided you to the next thing?
No, not really. I mean, not in high school. I didn't necessarily have that experience, but definitely in college. Mm-hmm. And it was teachers that were in my communications classes that encouraged me more than anything else, you know, just encouraged me, told me I could do it. Because whenever I started wanting to be a sports anchor, there were very few women in the business, and there were very, very, very few women of color. So me saying that that's what I wanted to do was not what people were used to hearing.
So they helped give you the confidence that it was going to be the right move, or
yeah,
that you could do it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I realized, like, I didn't know that I wanted to get into that business until I was a sophomore in college. But, like, looking back now, when I look back whenever I was like a kid growing up, I always was doing like radio announcements and, you know, writing newspaper stuff for school and, you know, being in school plays. So I always had that passion and I had that talent. I just didn't really know how I kind of wanted to package that up into like a career. But
right.
It was, I look back, I'm like, oh, I was always interested in that. I thought I wanted to be a veterinarian.
Okay.
You know, when you're a kid, you want to be like 18 different things.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course. You have to. Is that what you wanted to be when you went off to college?
No. When I first started college, I thought I wanted to go to film school.
Okay.
Florida State has a film school, and I took one class, and I was not interested. It happened that quickly.
Gotcha. What inspired you for that to be your choice going in?
I think I just really love creative writing, mm-hmm. and I've always been a big reader, and so I loved that creative process, and I thought that that's what I wanted to go into.
Okay. And you had been in some theater yourself,
yeah,
in high school.
Yeah, and I had done theater, yeah. I loved plays
and all
that kind of
stuff.
So you had
this, like, creative side. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So at what point did you lock in on communications and journalism?
I think I remember, like, being a sophomore, and I just started... When I was really trying to decide what my major was going to be, I just started to, you know, research more about communications, and I knew that that's what I wanted to do, and I started taking some classes, and I don't remember a moment where it just clicked, but I remember when I, that year, as I was like, I want to be a journalist, like, this is what I want to do, and the cool thing is, ESPN and ABC would come into town every Saturday during football season, and they came into my class one Saturday and they said, who wants to be a production assistant? And me and some other kids got picked, and so I started doing that every single home football game, And it gave me the opportunity to actually see what the job does. That's why I tell people, college students, they think they want to be something, but they don't even really know what the job entails, you know? So I got a chance to see what the job entails, from the broadcast booth to the cameraman. Like, I got to do all of these cool things, like behind the scenes. And so I knew for sure that I wanted a piece of that.
So you had like a job shadow almost, kind
yeah,
of like
it several totally
chances.
Was, yeah.
Cool.
It was awesome.
And you liked every part of it or most of it?
I did, because I mean, my jobs were not glamorous. I remember one time my job was, I was with the camera guy just making sure that the camera cord didn't trip anyone. Like, I did that for 3.5 hours.
That's important.
And I liked that. And I liked to do it. And then one time after I did that for a long time, I started working for Monday Night Football. And they knew I wanted to be on air, so they let me be like the assistant to the sideline reporter. It was Leslie Visser at the time. And it was raining that night. We were in Jacksonville, Florida, and I like held an umbrella over her head for like 3 hours. And she said, "Are you sure you want to do this?" I was like, "Absolutely."
That's dedication.
Yeah, yeah.
And you liked it even doing that.
So I did.
I think that's a pretty clear sign that was where you were supposed to go. Did you have, so those were your early jobs, those were just little things here and there.
Mm-hmm.
What was your first internship or like first little gig?
So I did all that stuff. My first paying job was as an editor for CNN Sports Illustrated. I edited sports highlights for the shows, and they were so nice to me. I don't know if this would still happen nowadays, but at the end of the night, they would let me sit on the set and read the scripts that the anchors had done that night, so I could put together a tape.
Oh, wow.
And so I got this tape with this great lighting and this professional set, and I started sending it out, and that's how I got my first job in Macon, Georgia.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. That's so cool. So take me through your early career there. I know you're at ESPN,
yeah, it was a
you're
lot
at
of
Fox
spot.
Sports.
I started in Macon, and then I went to Kansas City. I was there for 2 years, and then I went to ESPN. I was there for a couple of years, and then I went to, I fell in love with New York City. I was living in Connecticut, but I was in New York every weekend. So I'm like, I want to be in New York. Like, I don't care how we have to get me there, but I want to be there. And so I started working for CBS College Sports that was shooting in New York. And while I was there, Fox Sports in LA had a new show that they were doing, and they were looking for a female anchor, and so they wanted me to audition, and so I got hired for that show, but they were just offering me one day a week. So I flew cross country and did both jobs. This is before husbands and kids, of course. But yeah, so I did both jobs, and then finally they were able to offer me more days, and then I moved to Los Angeles and started working there full time.
Okay. So early on it was local news?
Yes, I was local in Macon, Georgia and Kansas City.
And so would you mind telling me about the early days of that?
Gosh.
Like, what did you have to learn early on?
Oh my goodness. I mean, when you work in local television, it's not glamorous. That's what I learned. And I tell people that all the time. I'm like, oh, it's not glamorous. We don't make any money, and you're doing everything. You know, you're your cameraman, you're your own producer, you're your own editor. So I learned to do, you're your own makeup artist.
Yes.
You're your own wardrobe stylist. So I did all of those things. But it was so fun because everyone at the station was young, you know, people that were ambitious and just wanting to make it in that business. But it's almost like I didn't go to graduate school. That was kind of like my graduate school.
Gotcha. Yes, on the job training.
On the job training, yeah.
I love it when I see them set up because they like get their camera and then they get in front
and then
of it.
They're like, look over here, talk to my hand over. I'm like, oh, I remember the days.
Was there a story you did early on that stuck with you?
I won't say the coach's name.
Okay.
But there's two things that I remember. One, I remember we would go to Atlanta sometime and cover some sports. And I had an experience with the coach that was so awful to me. And so it always stands out. And he had some
not so great things end up happening to him in his career, and I was not surprised. We'll just say that.
Yeah, that's a huge part of getting into journalism is being able to deal with everyone in a fair way, no matter how they treat you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I can imagine there.
I mean, at that age, I was like 23 years old too. You're like so young, and you know.
Yeah. It just takes some practice of like knowing how to approach, you know, from both sides.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Totally.
So how did you make some of the moves? Like,
So I have a cousin that's also in the business that had worked at ESPN, and he now works for the Miami Heat. And so his agent actually helped me. Okay. So I got myself my first two jobs. And then once I was there, my agent got me an audition for ESPN, and she guided my career for the rest of the time.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I bet that was helpful.
Yeah, it was very helpful.
What was your time at ESPN like?
I mean, it was amazing because it's like a dream come true. You know, at the time, it wasn't as big a network as it is now. I mean, there were literally, I think, 40 anchors that work there. And for me to think, like, at 26 years old, I'm one of 40 people that is an anchor at ESPN, it was a lot. And there were not very many women. I think there was maybe one other black woman. You know, it was different. And people that I met there are still friends of mine today. Mm-hmm. Like, I met so many people through that experience, and so that was really awesome. The downside is it's not a great place to live, and especially if you're a single young person. And it's a job that kind of consumes your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the hours are, I remember I worked on the 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. shift. That was what I got for, gosh, at least my first year, you know, so.
It's a long time to do it, too. It's bad hours.
So that part, you know, all of that, it's tough. But I was young, and like I said, it was before husband or kids, so it was easy for me to manage it. But
right,
yeah.
At that stage of your life, was there someone that you had your eye on that you kind of looked up to that, like, one day, I hope?
Pam
in their
Oliver
seat.
Was killing it at that time, and she's still killing it. And Robin Roberts, honestly, I think she was just transitioning. She might have still, when I started out, I think she was still in sports and had not yet made the crossover to be, you know, Good Morning America and all that stuff that she does now. But those were two black women that had really gone further than anyone else. And I got the chance to meet both of them at different points in my career. So that was really cool. And also, I will say, Stuart Scott was such a mentor to me whenever I was there, and so kind. I can't say enough good things about him. He was the best.
Are there a couple examples you wouldn't mind sharing of, like, things that he helped
just
with?
Mentored me? It's a tough place to work, in that making the move from local television to national it's a big jump. You know, mm-hmm. what I mean? It's like going from, like, low single A straight to the majors. And probably I didn't have all the confidence that I needed to have to really thrive in that level. And I think he just was always telling me, like, you're supposed to be here, you know, it's going to be okay. And just being a friend, honestly.
Gotcha. That makes sense. And you did so many cool things over the years, too,
yeah.
And had a lot of experiences. Do you mind telling me about some of the highlights?
Let me think. One of my favorite experiences, I worked for a little bit for Yahoo Sports, and it was one of my favorite jobs because they don't have a large sports department. I was the host, and so they would send me to all of, like, the major sporting events throughout the year. So, like, in one year, I literally got to go to, like, you know, the World Series, the Super Bowl, and all of these different things. And I don't remember the number of the Super Bowl, but it was the Patriots and the Giants. And we didn't have the credentials to go on the field, like, right after the game was over. We were, like, in the second pool of people, and I don't know how we somehow got out there, my producer and my cameraman and I, but we got out there when like the confetti was falling, and it was just an experience that I'll never forget. It was awesome.
That's so neat.
That's one of my favorites.
And as far as like people that you've interviewed, you know, your top few list.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, the person who's rocketed to number one has been right here in Fayetteville, Arkansas, when I got to interview Venus Williams.
That was so neat.
She was so great. And it was cool because it wasn't, you know, just like a quick 3-minute interview or what I did, you know, during my broadcasting days, but I got to sit down and have a 45-minute conversation with her, and really I was just blown away with like how funny and how genuine and how down to earth she was to be one of the greatest female athletes in the country.
Right.
She was incredible.
And you looked forward to doing that before?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When I was asked to do that, I was like, what? Seriously? Yeah, because you think, you know, I'm not in the business anymore. I think all of the great things have already happened. You know what I mean? I'm like, that was a great career and it's fine. I'll probably never have any other experience like that. So to have that experience, it was really cool.
I mean, I imagine that you kind of lose the butterflies when you've been in the business for a while.
Yeah.
But after having a little hiatus, did you?
Not really. You know what? I went back and I talked to her for a few minutes before we went on stage, and she was so easy that I knew it was going to be fine. Gotcha. You know, so I get a tiny bit. Anytime I'm going to do public speaking, even now, I feel a little bit, but right before I go on. So I definitely felt that. But once we started going.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Easy again. Were there others through the years that stood out as like special circumstance for you?
One I always think about, I interviewed LeBron James when he was still in high school.
Wow.
Yeah. At, it was a basketball tournament and I was the reporter for that. And it was when he was in high school. So it's really fun to like look back and see what a great player he's become. And remember, I was talking to him when he was 17. Let me think who else jumps out. I mean, there's just this was one for me personally, but I was such a basketball fan whenever I was younger. And D. Brown, who I'm sure you probably don't even know, but he was like a slam dunk champion in the NBA one year. And he became a coworker at ESPN.
Oh, wow.
So it took me a few months, and then finally I said, you know, you were like my favorite player whenever I was whenever I was a kid.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so that kind of stuff was fun. It's like you never know who you're going to see walking through the halls whenever you're working at ESPN.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I bet. And one of the interviews that I saw you in, you talked about being like a stringer for British.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. So completely randomly, and they reached out to me on Facebook, which is even more funny. On Facebook, Comedy Central reaches out and they say, we're producing this show that is like a parody of ESPN. At the time I was working for Fox, and they said, will you do an audition tape for us? And I was like, sure, why not? So I did an audition tape when I was out in LA. My job did it for me. I sent it and I got hired. So I go to New York and I film this TV show, and I had never done any like real acting or anything. And acting is so different than broadcasting. Mm-hmm. And I was the only non-actor on the show. Luckily, the majority of my lines were teleprompter, because I'm telling you, I can't act. But the majority I was reading off a teleprompter, because that was, you know, that was what the show was. But it was such an experience. Yeah.
And so it was a parody?
Yeah, it was a parody show. It was called The Sports Onion. Because have you ever heard of the Onion?
Yes.
It was a sports version.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. I mean, this was, had to be 11 years ago, because I remember Mariah wasn't even one. But it was such an experience.
That
and so
really
I got
fun.
To live in L.A. Live in New York. We shot it all in over a few weeks. It was fun.
Too funny.
Yeah.
Have you done anything like that since?
Yeah, well, it just things just end up kind of happening. When we lived in Arizona, they shoot a lot of television commercials. And so I started auditioning for television commercials, and I did a couple like national commercials. And then when we moved to Louisiana, little did I know that they were shooting a lot of TV shows in New Orleans. So I met some girls and they were acting, and so got with an agent and I started going out on auditions, and I got to play a reporter in an episode of NCIS New Orleans. So once again, I'm sitting there like, I cannot believe that this is what I'm doing this, but it's awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, is this an okay chance to transition to meeting Coach Musselman?
Yeah, for sure.
I've read a couple of the stories that people have written about it, but yeah, I would like
your
to hear
own story.
It from you.
The short version is I was working in LA and I was at an event. I was moderating a sports and media panel, and he was in the audience. He was not working. He was had been fired from the Sacramento Kings, and he was just kind of being a dad, and he was working in broadcasting a little bit. So I met him there, and I just thought he was being nice, and then he ended up asking for my phone number, and honestly, we hit it off pretty immediately, and the rest is history.
Right.
But yeah, that's how we met. I always like to clear up that I was not interviewing Coach Musselman.
Right.
In fact, he did not have a job when I met him. So. He was just a dad. He was just an out-of-work single dad.
Well, AY mentioned that he had second thoughts about giving you his number or trying to get your number or something.
Well, this is honestly, I remember thinking this because I was with two of my girlfriends and I figured, okay, I at least know like who he is. You know, he has like a Wikipedia page. We know this is him. So at least if I go missing, we know who took me. You know, like, because some people, you can't verify who they are necessarily.
Right.
That's okay. At least we know this is who it is.
So what did you think the first time you saw him?
I thought he was hilarious because he definitely has that funny, I mean, as you guys all get to see on social media and stuff, he's hilarious, and he really can captivate an audience. And so he's just fun to be around. You know, and this is when he's not coaching. He was a lot more relaxed than what he probably is on a daily basis now. But, and we just like to do a lot of the same things. And, you know, we both love going to movies. We both love traveling. We both love working out. I can't even tell you, we honestly immediately clicked, which I know people wouldn't necessarily put us together, but, it was pretty immediate. Yeah. And I think we were married about a year and a half after we met. Yeah, maybe not even a year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really nice. Yeah, you just kind of know.
You say.
Just kind of
know. People always ask. Yeah, you do. Especially whenever you're older. You know, we were both grown. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, so early on together, did you work out together? Like
yes.
Getting to know each other?
Yes,
what
all
kinds
the time.
Of things
we
do
both
you like
to lift weights. I mean, Coach, I don't know if you've heard, but he works out for 2 hours a day. He's mm-hmm. been doing that ever since I met him. I don't work out quite that long. But yeah, we would lift weights together and go, you know, go afterwards and eat. It's the smallest of things, but it was just something that we both like to do. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Finding things to share. That's
yes.
Nice. Let's see. Well, I kind of feel a bit of a commonality with you because I'm a stepmom too. So I wondered if you wouldn't mind sharing some of your journey of like,
yeah,
becoming, you know, a family together.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I kind of feel we took it kind of slow because I mean, I met my stepsons soon after I met Eric, you know, a couple months whenever we knew it was serious. But I still worked out of town. So he lived in the Bay Area and I worked down in LA. So he would still have two of his days with them alone whenever I was in LA, which I think is important. You know, I'm like, yes, we are becoming a family, but I still think that you need to have some one-on-one time with your kids.
And they were
12 and 8. Yeah, 12 and 8. And also, I mean, they have a great mom. I never wanted to be like their mom, you know, and I still don't want to be their mom. They have a mom, but I do want to be just like, you know, another important person that's in their life that loves them. Mm-hmm. And that approach is really, I think it's worked well for us as a family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I've done similar.
Yeah. I mean, because some people have stepkids that might not have, you know, a mother or father figure in their life, and mm-hmm. they might need to actually be, you know,
yeah,
to take on that role. But, you know, that's not our situation.
Right.
Yeah.
And in our situation, I'm glad that my stepson has both sides.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it does take some practice figuring out where you are.
Yes. Well, and especially I went from a, you know, completely single person to now stepmom to two kids. So that's, you know, that's a little bit of a transition too.
But did it feel like a lot at first?
It wasn't that bad. Yeah. No.
Okay.
It honestly wasn't. Yeah. And then we had my daughter pretty quickly. So the free single, you know, being being young and single and all that was all those
right.
over pretty quickly.
So how did you, like, where did you go from there? Moving wise.
You said what wise?
Moving.
Oh, moving.
Together.
Okay. So I ended up moving to LA with him. And I was still working. And then, I mean, not to LA. I moved to the Bay Area with him. And then after about a year, he really wanted to get back into coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to Reno. And he coached in it's now called the G League. And then he coached in the G League 1 year in Los Angeles. And we had my job and his job in one city. That was like heaven
right.
for a little bit. Of course, it didn't last long. Lasted about 6 months. And then he had always been really interested in college basketball. And Arizona State called. They had a school, their athletic director had worked for the Rockets and really wanted to hire assistants with NBA experience. And that's how that worked out for Eric. So then we ended up moving to Arizona, and I still worked for the first year that we were there, and I would fly back and forth. And then by the second year, it was just becoming too much because he was gone all the time. I was gone 3 days out of the week. And so that's whenever I stepped away from my job.
Mm-hmm.
So we were there, and then we went to LSU, and we were there for not even 1 year, 8 months. And that's when he got the head job at University of Nevada. And we were there for 4 years. And then now we've been here for 3 years. So I took apart and put back together my daughter's crib so many times I could do it with my eyes closed.
I bet. How, I mean, how did you stay sane doing all that with having a small child?
I don't even know. It was bad.
Did you have to, like, divorce your mind from, like, what a normal, like,
yes.
you know?
It was like, this is our reality, you know, because it was crazy. I mean, my friends were like, what even are you doing? And I was like, I'm not sure, but he wants to get back into coaching, so we're trying to make it work. It was crazy for a long time. And that's why whenever I look at, like, the wonderful place that we're in right now, I am so thankful for it, because I know the years of struggles that we went through to get here. So, I mean, I just appreciate it. I yeah. really appreciate it. And I savor every moment. I think so often I look at it like when I lived in LA, I don't think I went outside every day and was like, oh, this wonderful weather. I didn't, you know, because you just get so used to it being 75 and perfect every day. And then when you go live somewhere cold, you're like, oh, looking at the weather, you're obsessing over it. From that small experience, I learned, like, I savor every day. You know, I'm really thankful for all the success that he's able to have. And, you know, just one game at a time, I'm just thankful for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said it was a little bit hard for your daughter to move here.
Yeah.
Was it hard to leave?
She's Miss Social. Yeah. She cried. When we told her that he got the job, because we were out of town at the Final Four when we were offered the job and we came back, and she just finished third grade, So I think she was about 9 and she cried, but she said, "Dad, but I'm happy for you." So even at 9, she knew that this was a big deal. So she was sad for a minute, but Hunter Yurecek picked her up on a private plane. So that helped ease that. She had never been on one before.
Now, you had some Arkansas connection yourself?
Yes. Yeah. My dad's from Magnolia.
Okay.
Born, raised, lived there his whole childhood. He ended up going to the military and then went to Kent State in Ohio. And he's one of 13 kids, but no one lives there anymore. So I had never been. My mom said I was there when I was like very small. Mm-hmm. But I had no recollection of it. And so whenever he got this job, I'm like, I got to go to Magnolia because I lost my dad when I was 18.
Right.
And so it just, I wanted to see where he grew up. And then, of course, the first summer, it's COVID. And so I was not able to go until last summer. I got asked to do a speaking event for the Boys and Girls Club. And they brought me down to Magnolia and they took me around. I spent the whole day there. It was like one of the best days that I've had. I got to see everything. So it was just, it's special.
Cool. Yeah. So you got to see like his school and...
I didn't get to see that, but I got to see like, I got to go to the mayor's office. I got to see the whole, I don't know if you've ever been down there. It's a real small town. Like there's a little square that's kind of like the main hangout area. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get to see like exact house or anything like that that he grew up in, but I just got to see the vibe of the city.
Right.
Yeah.
That's really special.
It was.
Can I ask, were you expecting?
No, he had a heart attack. Yeah, he had a completely sudden heart attack that came out of the blue. He was someone who was like in perfect health and shape. And yeah, it was very shocking. It was when I had just started college. He died in September. I had just started college like a month before. So it was, you know, it was tough. It was tough.
How did that change life for you?
It's just, I don't even know if I can bring it into words. It's something that honestly Eric and I share because he lost his dad as well. And it's just something like, yes, it gets easier. You know, it gets easier, but it's a huge chunk of your life that is, it's just never going to be the same. Like a part of your heart that's not going to be the same. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And my dad is, and I know that he can see me. You know, but I mean, he never got to see like my sports career and even like what Eric is doing now or the things that I'm doing now. He never, I mean, I know he sees it, but he's not here to experience that with me. And so, you know, that's something that I'm always sad for. And, you know, my dad didn't get to walk me down the aisle. And,
right.
You know, so those things are always sad. And Mariah is never going to get to meet either one of her grandparents. And,
right.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I know.
So how did you do the down the aisle thing?
My brother.
Your
yeah,
brother.
My brother walked me
That's
down
so
the aisle.
Sweet.
Yeah.
It's good that he was there.
Yeah. He was there in spirit. He was watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so did your mom work growing up?
Yeah, my mom's a nurse. Yeah. And she's so funny. She tries to retire and then next thing I know she's like, "Oh, I'm substitute nurse at the high school."
She's like
never stopping. I thought you were retired. Yeah.
So did you like get to go with her as a kid too?
No, you know what? I was never really interested in medicine. Never interested in medicine. That's totally her thing. But, you know, she's a really strong lady and she has such a big heart. She welcomes anyone into our family. And I really admire her for that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, I don't go to Atlanta as much as my family comes to visit me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She comes with me on trips. She comes to visit here a lot. She's really into the basketball. Like, it's must-view TV for her.
Well, that's good.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Well, that sounds like it's fun for them.
It is. She was courtside with me at the Auburn game.
Very nice.
Yeah. So it was good.
So her cancer journey, did that happen while you were an adult?
Yes, I was about 30. I was living in Los Angeles, and it's one of those things that, like, I remember exactly where I was whenever she called me and told me.
Where was that?
Yeah, I remember everything about that moment. It's just,
it's one of those things where time, like, you feel like time stops almost. And I remember going home to be with her whenever she had surgery, and I remember sleeping on the floor in her hotel room, in her hospital room. Even though, it's been years. She's doing so great. She's been in remission for over 15 years.
That's wonderful.
And she's just so lucky because everyone doesn't have that same outcome.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
Where were you when she called?
I was sitting in my apartment. I was sitting on my couch. I remember, looking out the window. And I remember going to talk to my boss and thinking I was going to be fine, to be like, I have to take a week off. And I went in there just going to tell him, and I had a complete breakdown in front of my boss.
Yeah.
Which, that's awful. You know, you're like, I don't want to be the woman crying at work. But yeah,
but
I
remember that's understandable.
That. Yeah, it's hard.
It's a big thing.
Yeah.
How long was she in treatments and stuff, two?
Looking back, I would say 3-4 months. She had a double mastectomy and then she had chemo. She did not have to have radiation. So I believe that it was about 3 to 4 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you got to be there for some
of it. I remember I was there for her surgery. I had to go back to work. But just, it's hard being in across the country from your mom when she's going through something like that. But yeah. I just remember being, in constant Right. contact with her and come in whenever I could. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad she's doing well.
Yeah, she's doing great. She is.
How about your role now? Can you tell me about being here? And
yeah.
It sounds like you kind of like being coach mom.
Yeah, I do.
Having the boys over.
I do. It's really important for us for this to be a family. And so, part of that is we feel like we have an open door policy. Like, we love having the guys over. Sometimes they don't want to come over during the season. Like, nobody wants to come over during the season. Even my stepson, who works for Coach Musk, because I just think they get so much Coach Musk whenever they're
right.
But in the off season, it's great. I love having them over. Mariah loves it. Just getting to know them, getting to know their families. Mm-hmm. It's just fun. And we're about to go on a foreign tour, so we're going to take everyone to Spain and Italy, and I really look forward to that. This year we have 6 freshmen, which we've never had ever.
That's a lot.
They're 18 years old, so that's another level of need of just, checking in on them and just making sure everybody's okay. And yeah.
Just from their incoming experience or the foreign trip or both?
Both.
Yeah. Because a lot of them wouldn't have gone, maybe.
No, I mean, most of them haven't been out of the country.
Yeah.
The majority of them. Even making sure we have a meeting so that everyone knows what to pack.
Good idea.
You wouldn't even, I'm like, I go, they all do know that, their phone's not going to just plug into the wall over there, right?
Right.
We need to, yeah. They're kids.
Yeah. What are some of the things that they come to you for?
A meal.
Yeah. You gotta be prepared.
Yeah,
real prepared,
yes,
right?
Yes. Honestly, I will go and talk to them about things, honestly, more than, because Eric will kind of tell me what's going on. And so I'll more, go, hey, can I help out with this? How's this? Injuries happen all the time with basketball. So, I'm always checking on whoever got hurt. Mm-hmm. Whoever, is sick, just that kind of, that's what I'm kind of doing more than anything else.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And some of them will never call you. Some of them might call every single week. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Just, they all have my number, and just some of them might want or need a little bit more. I just worked out with them. Coach Must does in the summer. They do kind of like a fun Friday, and I love to spin. So we all went to spin class. I mm-hmm. went with them and did that.
Yeah,
it was
fun.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to learn their communication styles and what they need
yeah.
or what they want
yeah.
from you guys. And then you have some fun with them too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Gotcha. Do you guys like the trails here? And I mean,
we
you said
do.
You
we
like
love
to spin.
Biking. We really love biking. And luckily, we bought bikes before COVID hit, and you couldn't buy a bike.
Right.
But the Greenway is—we love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do too. My kids are just now old enough to be riding on
it. Riding bikes, yeah.
It's nice. It's accessible. I think we've made it through what I was hoping for.
Okay.
Is there anything else that you wanted to get to?
I don't think so.
I mean, you're always free to email me too if you like.
No, and you know, you can call me or email. What I'm sure you might have questions, yes, as you're putting this piece together.
Yeah. It'll be out October 2nd, and okay, so I'll be sure to send you like a comprehensive, like, clarifications, any follow-ups, and then there's a little fun self-portrait question box that were like, what's your favorite or meal or,
oh, okay,
stuff like that.
Okay.
That I'll send with that.
Okay.
Ahead of
perfect
time.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys so much for like shining light on this event.
We're, of course,
Catherine and I are so proud of it. We're just so proud of it. Yes. We really are. We're going to raise $500,000 this year. And to be able to do that in year two is just, I mean, it's amazing. And Catherine is, I mean, couldn't do it without her. Not even close. No, she's, yeah.
We're very grateful to you, too.
Thank you.
We're happy to feature this, yeah, so I'm excited for it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.